This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Just an hour or so ago, news that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg underwent surgery today for pancreatic cancer. A statement released by the court quotes her surgeon as saying she's expected to remain in Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York City for 7 to 10 days. Justice Ginsburg is 75 years old. She's currently the only woman on the court, which she joined in 1993. The good news is that the cancer was reportedly discovered early during a routine annual checkup. The bad news is that even in these circumstances, the 5-year survival rate for pancreatic cancer is between 5% and 10%. We'll talk more about the diagnosis in a moment. But right now, joining us is NPR Supreme Court correspondent Nina Totenberg. Nina, thanks very much for coming in today. What do we know about Justice Ginsburg's condition?
Well, we don't know very much. We know that the cancer was discovered on a routine screening, that she didn't have any symptoms, that she, because she had cancer 10 years ago of the colon, she goes in for an annual screening. And on the CAT scan, it showed a 1 centimeter tumor in a place, I gather, that there was little doubt that it was a cancer. And so she underwent surgery this morning at Sloan Kettering in New York, which, of course, is maybe the premier cancer hospital in the country. And as you said, she's expected to be there a week or 10 days. I'm told by her friends that she intends to be back on the bench in 3 weeks when the court reconvenes. Most of the doctors I've talked to think that that's really a very long shot. This surgery, even the lesser version of surgery, which is not what's called a full Whipple, but the lesser version, and from what we were told about where they found the cancer, there's a strong likelihood that she had the surgery, a lesser version of the surgery. Even that, though, is a wallop and has very high complication rates. In the medical literature, it says 40% complication rates. You know, some of them relatively minor, some of them quite major. So I would be surprised to see her on the bench February 23rd, let's put it that way.
It's been pointed out, you mentioned she had cancer 10 years ago, colon cancer, and took her treatments and never missed a day on the court.
Never missed a day on the court, but the fact that she had radiation and chemotherapy, you can't. Most of the doctors I've talked to say you can't really have radiation a second time, or that it's very rare that you're able to. And for those who have never seen a full-dress picture of Justice Ginsburg, she is a teeny lady. My guess is she weighs 100 pounds dripping wet and is somewhere in the neighborhood of 5'5", something like that. She's a tiny person. So I think it would be doubtful that there's any follow-up treatment that she would have after the surgery. But as I said, it is big surgery, And these are some of the if you just go to the medical literature, the statistics on 5-year survival are pretty grim for a pancreatic cancer. It's the fourth largest killer in the country among cancers.
Remind us of the role that Justice Ginsburg plays on the court. She was appointed in 1993 by President Clinton in his first year in office.
Well, she's, as you said, the only woman on the court. She was the second woman appointed to the court after Sandra Day O'Connor, who was appointed by President Reagan. And Justice O'Connor, of course, retired from the court, so Justice Ginsburg's the only woman. And in all the sort of blather about potential retirements on the court, Ginsburg was always the long shot. We would expect Justice Stevens, who's 88, about to be 89, or Justice Souter, who's made no secret of his dislike for Washington. Those were the two names. And even so, the focus was always on getting another woman on the court. I'm told that at the White House they or have already started, since they took office, to at least think about making up lists of potential Supreme Court nominees. This is when they had no idea about Ginsburg. And that most of those potential nominees were women that they were focusing on. So I think that's where we are if she decides to retire.
If she decides to retire. And you mentioned the other two justices, Justice Souter and Justice Stevens, who I think everybody anticipated that there might be appointments from President Obama in his first term in office, and now those may come sooner rather than later.
I think that's right. And, of course, I guess the president didn't need another big thing on his plate, but he's got it now, whether he likes it or not. He has to face the possibility that he'll have an appointment perhaps sooner than he thought. But I should say that Ruth Ginsburg is one of the toughest people I've ever met in my life or known in my life. And she's endured very tough times. Her mother died of cancer when young Ruth was, I think, 16 and about to graduate from high school. Her husband was diagnosed with cancer when they were in law school and told he had almost no chance to live. He's still alive, and she saw him through it. And she never missed a day on the court when she had colon cancer 10 years ago. So I would hardly count her out of the game.
She is generally identified on the liberal wing of the Supreme Court?
On the liberal side of the court, yes.
And what are the decisions that she's best known for?
Well, she's probably best known for two of her most recent dissents. She dissented when the court said that sharply curtailed the ability of women to sue for back pay and damages over gender discrimination, and that applied also to race and religion. And she delivered a very impassioned dissent. This Congress last week overruled that Supreme Court decision by passing the Lilly Ledbetter law, named after the woman who brought the case. That same term, which is two terms ago, she dissented when the court said that states could, that the federal government could make it illegal to have partial birth abortions. And she delivered another impassioned dissent over that. She's best identified, of course, because of her with women's issues, because of her long role as a pioneer in women's rights in the 60s, 70s, and until she became a judge in the 80s.
And where are we now in terms of the Supreme Court calendar?
We have a little less than half the year to go. We have plenty of important cases to be argued for the remainder of the term. And so we have cases to be argued in the end of February, March, April. The court term ends in June. But there's plenty left to be done this term. And if it's without her, some cases they may decide not to have argued until next term.
And the that's going to be an awkward decision, going down to eight justices. Obviously, it's been done before, but it's not something that Chief Justice Roberts is going to look forward to.
No, and there's some that they have not yet scheduled, that they could schedule for the fall instead of for the spring. But I suspect that most of these cases, she's not the deciding vote in, and that they'll just go ahead and hope that she'll be back on the bench.
There's going to be many divisive issues coming up in terms of we have a new Attorney General, Eric Holder. There's going to be a lot of arguments about which policies of the Bush administration to unwind in the Justice Department, particularly as regards the war on terror, wireless wiretapping, and all that sort of thing. The Senate Judiciary Committee is going to be playing a large role in all of this. If there is the prospect of an appointment, whether that's Justice Ginsburg or Justice Stevens or Justice Souter, nevertheless, this is going to occupy everybody's time at a time when everybody was anticipating a lot of action to begin with.
They were, but most of it, I would suggest to you, probably it would come in the form of oversight, unless the Obama administration right off the bat asks for new legislation, for example, to create a terrorist court, which I can't see them doing right off the bat. A lot of this is not going to be primary legislative action. It'll be in the form of officials of the Justice Department coming up to the Hill and reporting on what they're doing and facing questions over what they're doing. But it is what it is. If there's a Supreme Court vacancy or two, they'll have to live with it. That's their constitutional job.
Nina Totenberg, thanks very much. NPR Supreme Court correspondent Nina Totenberg with us here in Studio 3A. Obviously, stay tuned to NPR News later in the day, and we'll bring you more on this story as developments warrant. More, obviously, later today on All Things Considered. Again, if you've just joined us late, news from New York City today and the Supreme Court that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg underwent surgery for pancreatic cancer at Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital. She's expected, according to her surgeon, to remain in the hospital for 7 to 10 days. Nina Totenberg just told us that her plans, at least right now, call for her to be back in Washington on the court in 3 weeks. Some doctors who are expert in these matters question whether that's going to be possible, but nevertheless, those are the plans now. Justice Ginsburg, 10 years ago, had colon cancer, had surgery for that, including radiation treatment afterwards, and recovered from that and never missed a day on the Supreme Court. She is 75 years old and was appointed to the court in 1993 by President Clinton. Again, stay tuned to NPR. More on that later today. For the remainder of this hour on Talk of the Nation, we're going to be focusing on another issue, and that is given the president's announcement yesterday to cap the salaries of CEOs of firms that take bailout money, taxpayer money, to $500,000 per year. Well, that made us think about how much it is. Why is it? Who should make the most money? Is it bankers, some of whom reportedly make $83 million a year, CEOs of Wall Street investment firms? Is it athletes? Well, we all know what Tiger Woods makes, $115 million a year, or Alex Rodriguez of the Yankees. Actors can make $60 million per film and up. There are all kinds of disparities between those at the top of the wage scale and those at the bottom. This is America. Success should be rewarded. Nevertheless, who should make the most money? Give us a phone call. Our telephone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org and stay with us, please. I'm Neil Conan. And of course, if we get further developments later today on the conditions of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's still in the hospital, she is out of surgery at this point at Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York. But if we get more news on her condition or her plans, should she announce them today, we'll let you know. NPR's Nina Totenberg will be reporting later today on All Things Considered, so you should stay tuned for more on that. In the meantime, we'll be back shortly with more on Talk of the Nation on the question of who should be making the most money. Again, the phone number 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.